WildTalkRadio.com.
Theme song!
Listen up, Slapnut. This is Jeff Jarrett.
Hey, this is Max Brown, King Robert from the Royals.
This is the undisputed future Seth Rollins.
Hey, this is Kane from WWE.
This is EC3.
Hello, this is WWE Hall of Famer, the Heartbreak Kid, Shawn Michaels.
I'm Bristol.
And I'm Aubrey from ATTV Flipper Flop Vegas.
Hi, this is Bree.
And this is Nikki, and we're the Bella Twins.
Yes, this is Broken Not Hottie.
The greatest man that ever lived always likes a good rap, and you're listening to the greatest rap.
Satisfaction is guaranteed.
It's time to experience the award-winning The Rack.
I heard y'all wanted to hear a bedtime story.
I love kickball.
I'm back, taking souls and digging holes.
I'm gonna break you, bitch, you hear me?
With your host.
They've been lying to you. Heroes don't exist. Y'all become addicted to the illusion of what a hero does for you. Have I mentioned that I was once addicted to eating sponges?
Lindsay Ward.
Look at me, woman.
You can just call me Taker.
Oh my God, it's Taker. Taker, Taker, Taker. Does Taker hate me? Oh my God, it's Taker.
And she was a wicked, wicked child who spat and swore and chewed tobacco.
I like puppets.
And her producer, Sir Rocket.
My little creatures of the night will now experience the magical art of puppetry.
This right here means I'm the champ that runs the camp.
Live on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
I knew you'd come.
And good evening, everyone. Welcome to The Rack right here on WildTalkRadio.com. For reference over at MBG Films. Check them out, youtube.com/MBG1211. And if you're listening to us over at GearWick.net, RackRadioShow.com, WildTalkRadio.com, or on Twitch, thank you so much for tuning in. We greatly appreciate it. You can put second check out the fine folks over at FightBooth.com as well. I'm your host, Lindsay Ward. Joining me, as always, is the ever-faithful producer slash co-host slash handyman, Sir Rockin.
We're live. There's football on the TV.
Not good football, but football.
That I can actually see. You can tweet us at Wild Talk Radio, at Rack Radio Show, at Lindsay Ward throughout the night. You can come chat at twitch.tv/WTLive, wildtalkradio.com, rackradioshow.com. We have stuff to get into tonight.
We do. We have wrestling stuff, and then after this show, we will be doing Fortnite with friends like we do every Thursday night. Hopefully, we're going to get the whole squad here. We've been promised at least one. We're working on another one, so we'll let you know as the show goes how that is going to progress. And by the way, I just want to put this out in the universe. Apparently, Pete Dunne versus Miko Satomura happened. If anybody can find that and send that to me, I would very much appreciate that. Just saying. I hope she whooped him. Like, seriously whooped him. Not that I don't love Pete Dunne and all, but I just really seriously hope she beat his ass.
He deserves a whooping once in a while.
He needs a whooping once in a while. He really does. Just, you know, keep him on the straight and narrow.
Mm-hmm.
But anyway, like you said, we have a lot to get into tonight. We have a little bit of news. We're going to talk about the WWE 2K19 trailer that dropped today. Hey! Because there are things to discuss in that. We've got the Mae Young Classic Catch-Up, NXT Rundown, Tweet of the Week, SmackDown, all your favorites. And yes, by the way, we are also talking about, you know, the little thing this Sunday, Hell in a Cell. We will preview all the matches. We'll break it down. We'll let you know what we think and who we believe is going to win. And that's coming up later in the show. But I say we don't waste any time and we get into the little snippets of news brought to you by our friends over at GearWick.net. What do you say?
Sounds like a good idea to me.
So just a quick little snippet. It was announced this week that Renee Young will be joining the Raw commentary team full time. She replaces Jonathan Coachman, who's been moved to the pay-per-view pre-shows.
Yay.
Yay. Not that there's anything wrong with Coach. Coach is perfectly fine, but he did have to go out on assignment to do his day job for PGA. NDA coverage, so this is a more permanent solution for them. Plus, the response to Renee being on commentary was overwhelmingly positive. A lot of people were in favor of it, and so they just went ahead and made the move to have her be there permanently, which I'm all for it. I love the fact that there's a female voice on the team. I've been waiting years for this, so down with it. Completely, completely down with it.
I'm all for it. It's a breath of fresh air. She adds to the show. Her commentary is not hard to listen to. She's not trying to be the smartest person in the room like Coach was trying to be. And it's different. I like the Coach. I thought he added a nice element to the broadcast table, but you could see he's been away from the product for so long. He's not as good in that role. He's, because he went to ESPN, he's always a different person these days. So it's, him being the lead host for the pre-show is sort of what he does best these days, because that's the stuff he was doing with ESPN.
I will say he did add a nice touch of credibility to the announced team, but yeah, like you said, he did have just awareness issues, which, you know, when you go away for that amount of time, you don't really interact with the product anymore. Yeah, you're going to have that. Renee had this very similar problem when she first started, where she wasn't as familiar with the product as she could have been, but obviously being around it, working for them, she's gotten much better with it. Her commentary's gotten much better. They have worked with her, you can tell, really kind of extensively to improve her skill, because she did actually commentate in NXT, and she wasn't the best in NXT, but she did all right, especially if she has someone really, really good to partner with. Like, she would sit with Regal and Regal would flirt with her for 45 minutes and it was hilarious. So this is kind of the same thing. And I like the dynamic of her and Graves.
Because they're really good friends. So it's like, you know, the commentary is going to be really good.
And I feel like they could put Coach in elsewhere if they want to, if they need to, and if he wants to. I mean, this could be a little schedule relief for him where he's not having to travel as much as what he was doing, you know, because he doesn't have to be at Raw every week now. He only really has to show up for the pay-per-views and anything else that they need him for. Like, they can extend his role in other places. And if they wanted to, he could be a coach, pun intended, to people at the PC. He could help people with their commentary skills. You know, there are a lot of different other roles that he can play in that company that he would be hugely beneficial at.
And if he wanted to, he could be a manager, because they kind of need, he was a good manager when he was there.
Yeah, he was. He really was. I mean, Coach is super talented. If you have never, like, really experienced Jonathan Coachman in his heyday, just go watch it on the network. He was amazing. I was really actually sad when he left. So when he came back, it's like, yay, Coach is back. Yay. But he's much more subdued now. So it's like, oh, that's sad. That's sad.
Yeah.
But yeah.
Yeah.
So huge congratulations to Renee as she moves up. Obviously, she was beside herself. She was absolutely giddy. It was adorable. So go, Renee, go. Now we're going to get into the meat and potatoes of the news segment, which is the WWE 2K19 roster was dropped and also the trailer.
Let's talk about the trailer. Roster doesn't matter.
Oh, yeah. The trailer for the game dropped today. And if you're watching us, we're on Twitch. We're going to play the trailer for you. So we're going to give you a couple seconds to get over to Twitch in case you want to watch it. Or if you're on wildtalkradio.com, you can watch it on that page because, well, we do have the Twitch player there. So I'm going to stall for just
It's currently running. It's going to run on a loop as we talk. So it's just going to keep running.
Okay. So it's running.
Yeah.
It's running. I was trying to give people a second to get over there. But as we can see, we get a tease of all the different superstars in the game. And I know you were particularly a little underwhelmed with the roster because there are a lot of people that are left off of it.
Hashtag, where's Ciampa?
Where is Ciampa? Why is Ciampa not in the game? Seriously, why is he not? Although I thought about this and I realized that if Tommaso Ciampa is in that game, they could totally do a storyline where Johnny Gargano is just replaying himself versus Tommaso Ciampa constantly in 19. And Candace is like, I'm going to take that goddamn controller away from you. So help me God, I'm going to do it. But no, I don't understand why Ciampa's not in the game.
I don't understand why he's not in the game. The cool thing is that Ted DiBiase is now playable in the game, and he looks really good, as you see in the trailer. So that's really cool. And all the other legends have been announced, and we've seen them already. Like, they're all the ones that have been in the game forever. Christian and Sean, at least they updated Sean. They've updated Trish's look to an older school Trish Stratus, which is cool. They've updated the looks, but the guys are still the same. Now,
yeah.
Let's get into this trailer.
All right. So the trailer is a game trailer. I love how cinematic it is. I almost wish you could do stuff like this in the game, and you probably can, where you can edit it all together to make your own little mini movie. But what's really, really interesting about this trailer is it opens on the House of Horrors match, and in particular, Bray goddamn Wyatt. Bray Wyatt, ladies and gentlemen, is opening this trailer. And can I just say, thank you. Thank you, 2K, so much for that. That made me so happy. Quality trailer just right there. And by the way, there is more Bray Wyatt in this trailer than we have gotten on WWE TV in the last month.
Okay, so one...
I'm just pointing that out.
Yeah, I got it. So why is the House of Horrors in this game?
I don't know.
I'm kind of confused, but I'm cool with it. Really cool with it, because it adds a different dynamic to it.
Can I ask why there's a zombie hunter in this game?
I don't know why there's a zombie hunter in this game.
There is zombie hunter in this game, and it looks like he's facing Bray at the House of Horrors match, which I'm a little confused by that, but it's like there's zombie hunter, so it looks like they may have incorporated the zombie characters, at least hunters for sure, into the game. I don't know if they've done the other like monster zombie things, like basically the figures that they made last year that are all creepy and shit. I don't know if those are in it, but it's a little confusing.
Very confusing. That's two things.
And then there's the big head mode.
What?
Big head? What is that?
Oh, there's futuristic Matt Hardy, too, by the way. I don't know.
Yes, there's futuristic... Well, actually, is it futuristic Matt Hardy, or is it broken, woken Matt Hardy in the fifth dimension?
It might be. Could be.
I think that's the fifth dimension. I think that's what that's supposed to be.
I have no idea. But
big head mode. What is that?
That's... different.
It looks like they've incorporated a few surprise modes into this that we weren't expecting, obviously. Hey, look, it's the Bludgeons, so they look so lovely. All my boys are in this trailer. Thank you, 2K. But yeah, big head mode is in this, and not really sure what's going on with it, but it looks like it could be really fun.
It's a throwback to the old NBA games and all a bunch of other different arcadey games that have big head mode. So it's like, that's cool. They updated Sean's look, which has been a while, which is good. They updated Taker's look a little bit too, and his model looks better. King Booker's in the game. I have no idea why Bray Wyatt's wearing a gas mask. I don't know.
I don't know, but can I just say it's badass and I love it. And he's got the IC title, and I hope this like that kind of comes into the real life product. I would be okay with that. I would not complain in the least. And then there's the golden AJ Styles.
Well, that's for the $1 million challenge.
But there's a golden AJ Styles.
There's going to be a golden AJ Styles trophy somewhere. I don't know. We'll see what happens with that. What we can confirm based off watching the trailer, the Women's Royal Rumble is in the game.
Which is awesome.
Which is cool that we can finally do a Women's Royal Rumble. Because like last year when we were doing the simulations with the video game, we couldn't do the Rumble. I was like, oh, really? You can't do the Women's Rumble? That's kind of crappy. Also, Kairi Sane's elbow's in the game, which is awesome looking.
What I'm really curious about is, can you do a woman in my career mode?
They have not announced anything about the my career mode, so I don't know.
Like, I would be very, very curious to see if you can create a female superstar now and have her go all the way through my career mode, because I would buy the game for that. I legit would buy the game if you can do that, because that's been my one critique of the game over the last few years, especially with the Women's Revolution, and I understand that this game is produced a year behind, essentially. They start it and it goes essentially from a little bit like basically from when they release it the year prior all the way up to about WrestleMania is when they cut it off for everything to produce the game, and then it's released in the fall. So you've got essentially from fall to WrestleMania for everything to go in. So when 2K took over, they missed the Four Horsewomen. They did not go in the game. And then the next year, the Women's Revolution had progressed and they didn't include the My Career mode and they didn't have some of the other things. And this year, we don't really know what's up. As we can tell, women are going to be heavily featured in this game, it seems like.
They look a lot better, too.
They look a lot better. The hair, great job on the hair, y'all. Great job on the hair.
It's improving. The models look better in this game. There are a couple odd faces. Like, I was watching the trailer a few times. Billie Kay's face is a little weird, but it's okay. It's better than it was. She has a round face to begin with, so.
Yeah, she's got those cherub cheeks, so it might be a little difficult. I mean, they do face scans of everybody or of most people, so you're dealing with that, but you know, it's like not everything's gonna go in like it is lifelike, but the game, for the most part, the faces are a lot better than years past.
Yeah, Kairi Sane looks incredible.
Yeah, Kairi Sane looks great.
Ronda looks great. Sonya Deville looks really good. Ronda looks really good. Alexa Bliss looks good. Becky looks good. A lot look really good. One thing you can tell, you can now use the briefcases and entrances, which is cool, which never been a thing before, so that's a positive. The arena setups look a little bit better, too. Just close up, they look a little bit better. So they've made changes to the game. It's probably not going to be substantial changes, but it's enough changes to make it an improvement. No, did not see the tweet. But yeah, so I'm looking forward to it. I was not excited coming out of the roster reveal because, again, you're missing, like, Nikki Cross isn't in the game. She was in last year. Tommaso Ciampa isn't not in the game. He was in last year. Those are two big omissions to the game. I don't know. We'll see. I'm enjoying it. I'm going to pre-order it here in the next few days. And we'll probably have a lot of WWE 2K19 coverage on the Twitch channel. So we'll probably play some. We'll do some live streams. How about that?
Yeah, he'll be playing it. I'll be watching it because I'm not going to buy it till I see it. And
yeah, so
yeah,
I'll be live streaming that somewhere right here at twitch.tv/WTRLive.
So that does it for 2K19, but let's get into the Mae Young Classic.
It's time for this week's Mae Young Classic catch up.
So we had Priscilla Kelly and Deonna Purrazzo.
Great match.
It was a nice little match. Told a good story with Purrazzo of her disappointment last year, and now she's back to prove herself. Good stuff. I enjoyed the match.
She's just a little over Deonna. Just a smidge.
They kind of like her at Full Sail. Just saying. It was fine. She won with the armor. It's good.
I'm not sure I'm crazy about Priscilla Kelly's look. Like, I like her. I think she's good. I'm just not sure I'm crazy because it's like she's got these really incredibly big eyes,
mm-hmm.
and they're blue and they're beautiful, and it's just the hair situation going on there. It makes her face look odd. I don't know. There's something that's like, you look at her and you're like, she's really pretty. You can tell she's really pretty, but there's just something off. I don't know. And like shit like that just bothers me.
Mm-hmm.
When people are like that, and I know it shouldn't, but it's like it's the art person in me that gets like that. But yeah, I mean, I like Priscilla Kelly. Wouldn't mind seeing more of her, honestly.
Ariel Monroe took on Zeus, I think that's how you pronounce it.
Yes.
It was okay. You were not a fan of the look of Zeus?
Yeah, I mean, Zeus's gear, I don't know. Wasn't crazy about it. But then again, I don't have to because I don't have to wear it. But for me, it's just like I don't know about that. But it was what it was. I mean, it's, again, I don't have to wear it. My opinion doesn't really matter. She looked fine in it. She wrestled fine in it. I mean, that, let's all be real. That didn't, you know, that didn't affect anything.
No, it didn't change anything.
There, she wrestled wonderfully. So everything else is completely irrelevant. I will say one of the cutest things in this match was when they showed Cedric Alexander with his and Ariel's son.
Daughter, wasn't it?
Daughter. That was adorable.
Yeah.
That was absolutely adorable.
Zeus's one, by the way.
Yeah, Zeus's one, by the way. But she was so excited to see her mom. Oh my god. That's so cute.
Rena Gonzalez took on Casey Catanero from, she's the American Ninja Warrior. Solid match.
Yeah, I mean, it was fine. I don't have anything more to say about that, sadly. But yeah, I mean, it was fine. It was perfectly good. I feel like Casey needs more practice, but I mean, she's gonna get it, so.
Yeah, she's a little small Spitfire. She'll be fine.
She's good at climbing things.
She's good at climbing things. Then you had Mercedes Martinez and Ashley Madison Rain.
Mercedes! My girl! I love her so much. It makes me so happy she's back. And she had some killer gear on. And then there's my other girl, Ashley Rain. Oh, it made me so happy to see her.
It was okay, so going into this matchup, I watched her on Up, Up, Down, Down. She's so super excited to be in this tournament. Like, she's so happy to be a part of WWE. Like, let's think about where she's been this year, right?
Mm-hmm.
She's been in Impact. She wrestled on pay-per-view for Impact. She wrestled for Ring of Honor this year. And now she's wrestling for the Mae Young Classic for WWE.
Well, I know she's worked super hard to get there.
She's really good. Like, she was originally going way back in the day. Way back. She was the weakest member of the Beautiful People. Like, because she was really young and she was really skinny back then. I mean, she was skinny. But she's proved to be a really solid worker. And it was cool to see her here. I'm kind of disappointed she lost. But it's cool Mercedes won. I wish they had saved these two to fight later in the tournament. Because I think Ashley deserved to move on a little bit. but I enjoyed her while she was there.
Yeah, I'm a little sad that she's out as fast as she is, but I'm kind of hoping that they use her for other things while they had her there, and that they kind of have their eye on her, because I know how hard she's worked to improve and to get to where she is. I mean, she, from where she was, when, like you said, when she started to now, is just night and day. And she wanted to be there. Oh, yeah. And that's not saying that you all wanted to be there, but she especially was just like so excited and so giddy and so happy. And it's like, you can tell this was a goal for her and she had achieved it. And you just can't be prouder of her. But it's like, they're, you know, they put her up against Mercedes, who's an incredible opponent, and they're not going to knock Mercedes out in the first round. They're just not going to do that. So, I hope to see more of Ashley Rain. I hope maybe she ends up in NXT, or worst case, you know, they invite her back for other things, or next year. I'd be fine with that.
I'd be fine with that.
I think she'd be fine with that too.
Oh yeah. So, solid Mae Young Classic.
Solid Mae Young Classic. I like, again, that they're I don't want to say dragging it out, because that's a completely wrong term, but they're airing it one week at a time, so you get little tastes of it.
We're not not overload it.
Yeah, you're not. You just don't get, here's all of round one, here's all of round two, and then you have to wait months for the finals. Now it's, you know, you're getting little bits of each week, so it's like you continue to watch, and it's fresher in your mind that way.
Yeah. And it's an easy 45 minutes to watch, so.
Yeah, and especially after NXT, where you just leave the network up and you just, you know, you watch it right after NXT. You're like, yeah, okay, all right, this is good. Yeah. This is good. But speaking of NXT, I say we run right into NXT.
It's time for this week's edition of the NXT Rundown.
See what we did there? See what we did there? Nice little transition. Professional right here. We're professional. No.
We had Oney Lorcan and Danny Burch back in action.
They found them!
Well, they're healthy now.
They're healthy now?
Yeah. They beat up on Benani and Adrian Jordeaux, I think it was.
Mm-hmm.
They just beat up on him for a couple minutes. Solid match.
Yeah, it was fine. It was a solid little match to open up the show, so there you go.
Lorcan's back. Good boy. Lorcan's back from being injured, so. Good
way to reintroduce them back to the audience.
Yeah. Ciampa came out, talked about how he wanted to take out Aleister Black before the takeover match, but someone else beat him to it. And, well, Ciampa said he was going to take Black out, but, you know, someone beat him to the punch. He'll pat that person on the back for attacking Black. And then talked about how the last few weeks that Gargano lost, well, Ciampa always wins. And he said the title is telling him something. Thank you for getting me back to the main event at TakeOver, he said. He talked about how he's the greatest success story in history of NXT. And he says, giving everyone advice, if they want to be a success winner or champion, you should follow the lead of Tommaso Ciampa. I like this new music, too. I enjoyed it.
It was good. Yeah.
And he actually has music now, so that's a plus. So, there you go. Shayna Baszler defeated Violet Payne in about a minute. Like, she just beat the crap out of her, choked her out, then came back for more. Choked her out some more. It was a nice, effective way to get Shayna Baszler a good, quick win to reestablish herself.
I will take the points shamelessly. So take the points for that. Not even gonna argue it. But yeah, this was a good way to get Shayna back on the straight and narrow, as it were. You know, get her back on a winning streak. Reestablish her. So I'm fine with it. And right now, she just... It's like, because she did... And losing to Kairi Sane wasn't a bad thing at all, but it's like, you know, you need to build Shayna back up a little bit. So definitely okay with this. And I liked her gear. Like, I really liked the silver. I thought it was nice.
Heavy Machinery was doing a selfie promo. They were looking for who tagged Aleister Black, and Otis thinks it's Tomato Champ. Tomato Champ. As they're jaw-jacking about it, Ciampa walked by, and then him and Otis go back and forth, and William Regal stepped in and pulled Ciampa away. Tomato Champ. See, I like Otis in promos. He's okay in the ring, but I like him in promos. It's very entertaining, you know?
Definitely.
Undisputed Era talked about the War Raiders, and then how next week Adam Cole is taking on Pete Dunne in a champion versus champion match. So, yeah.
Which is gonna be good, y'all. It's gonna be so good. I just know it.
Or it's Ricochet, rather, versus Pete Dunne next week. Yeah. And how the winner is facing it. Adam Cole next week. That's what it was. Or in the future. Yeah.
Both will be epically good. Just pointing that out, but I have heard things about the Dunn Ricochet match. Yeah. This is going to be really good.
It's going to be really good. Lars Sullivan beat Raul Mendoza. He just beat the crap out of him.
And then he was talking to himself after the match, which was weird.
Yeah, a little weird.
Side note, I forgot to mention this last week, but I want to say this now. I would very much like to request more Pete Dunne, William Regal interaction. Is that a thing? Can I get that, please?
You mentioned that last week.
I'm mentioning it again. I would like to request that wholeheartedly because, one, I feel like they need to spend more time together. There's so much Pete could learn off of William. And, two, I'm halfway convinced that Pete Dunne is William Regal's bastard son. And really kind of almost should be in storyline. They look like each other, for the love of God. I mean, come on. Come on. Do it. Somebody do it. If you're going to do the bastard son storyline, do it with William Regal and Pete Dunne.
Speaking of Peter... He was being interviewed outside Full Sail. He talked about what happened with Ricochet a few weeks ago and how they're going to fight next week and how Ricochet's only been champ for 5 minutes, but Dunn's the longest reigning champion in WWE right now. And he just needs to figure out a way to hold two belts in his mouth at one time.
Maybe he'll have to sterilize that belt when he gets done with it.
Oh, I know.
By the way, I don't want to put this out in the universe, but I think in another month, 6 weeks, something like that, Dunn will surpass Brock Lesnar.
You know what you just did, right?
Yeah, I just jinxed him. But as long as he doesn't lose it on TV, I'm fine.
Yeah. Ricochet addressed the comments about the 5 minutes, and said it's been like more like a month. Said he was put in a high-pressure situation before WWE, and this is no different. He said homeboy Don was no different, and it is a hurdle to get over, but he'll win next week and be NXT's one and only dual champion.
Okay, you keep that happy thought.
He could. He's good. He can win.
I'm not saying he couldn't win. I'm just saying, you keep that happy thought.
We had a vignette for the Forgotten Sons. We had a little thing at Full Sail with Deonna Purrazzo and Dakota Kai, Aaliyah and Lacey Evans.
Okay, I just have to talk about this because, right, you got the stage students sitting there and then they all turn around and they're like, oh my God. And there's Deonna and I think it was Aaliyah arguing.
Mm-hmm.
Dakota and Deonna, that's right. And then it's like, in walks Lacey Evans, looking like a BAMF, in her dress, in her heels, with her hat, in her gloves, and I'm like, quality. That's how you do it. That's how you roll up in vintage. Right there. And then Aaliyah comes up looking all boss, and it's just like, yes, yes. I'm so happy with this right now. So many fabulous things in one promo. And the students just like gawking the whole time. It was fabulous.
Kairi Sane was being interviewed by Regal and the lawyer, and she was dismissed, and then Cassius Ohno came in and was wondering why he wasn't being talked to, and then the lawyer said, we don't need to talk to you, and Ohno thinks he's an afterthought, and Regal said Ohno was cleared by Kairi Sane and gave him an alibi. So there was no need. Regal noted that Ohno looks pissed, and he's like, yeah, good guy Cassius, right? Yeah, no. I'm being ignored. I'm upset about it. He said when the new shiny toy gets here, he'll take care of him, bro.
Ew. Them's fighting words right there.
I wonder what bro he's talking about.
Don't know. By the way, I like that they're interviewing Kairi Sane, Little Miss Sunshine and Light, Pirate Princess, for taking out Aleister Black.
No.
Like, just the fact that they believe Kairi Sane could take out Aleister Black is amazing.
It wasn't because of that. She was in the area.
Still.
She may have an idea. She may have an idea who did it. Not she did it. Who did it?
But that also implies that they believe she could have done it.
Maybe. So, also...
And I'm not saying she couldn't have. I'm perfectly believing Kairi Sane could take out Aleister Black. Just the sheer good of her could take him down. Just, that's all I'm saying. And then she could just totally beat his ass, because she would. But, just the amount of light and goodness that comes from her, yeah. Yeah, that would be enough to just phase Aleister Black into submission.
And the bro is Matt Riddle, for those wondering. Bianca Belair versus Nikki Cross, and then a double count out, but Nikki was awesome. Bianca was good, and this was enjoyable for the 5 minutes it went.
I liked this. I would like to see more of this, please. I like the dynamic of the two. And it was the main event of the show, which was pretty awesome. But yeah, this was good. They have a very interesting chemistry together. Nikki has really interesting chemistry with a lot of the girls because of the character and that she's just absolutely crazy.
Yeah, she's really crazy.
And she's really good at being crazy. So it creates a really unique situation. And I really love it.
It's a really good dynamic, which is something you really need. But
well, it's something that's like, it throws everybody off kilter.
Yeah.
It's like, the best example is Shayna. Shayna did not know what to do with Nikki Cross. She had no idea what to do there.
No.
Because she's used to being able to bully people.
Yeah.
And Nikki would not be bullied. And so it's when, and a lot of girls, whenever they're used to doing whatever they do and Nikki does not respond, it's, well, crap, what do I do now? Because she's not doing the thing mm-hmm. that I need her to do. And then now it's, they have to think about it and they have to find a way around Nikki Cross, which sometimes they do. Yeah. Sometimes they don't.
But it was a solid episode of NXT. Nothing too crazy, but it was solid.
It's solid. They're starting to build back up towards another takeover. We're seeing it slowly begin to heat up, but they're still just like basically turning on the heat right now.
Yeah, they're building up to NXT War Games. And Devil Sand in the chat room thought they're doing War Games at Survivor Series. Yeah, they are at Survivor Series weekend at Takeover. Probably not on the main show. Just wanted to point that one out. But as we take our first and only break of the evening.
Sounds like a plan. So when we come back, we are going to be talking all about Hell in a Cell. We'll preview it. We'll let you know who we think, who's going to win, who's going to lose, all that fun, happy stuff. And then we're going to do a little mini SmackDown Throwdown thrown in that along with Tweet of the Week. So you're listening to The Rack right here on WildTalkRadio.com, and we'll be right back.
Get chatty with CB Radio. Like us on Facebook, facebook.com/CB Radio Live.
Hey y'all, you want to get social with The Rack? Follow us on Twitter, twitter.com/RackRadioShow.
Every Monday night, get caught up with everything that happens on Monday Night Raw with The Raw Post Show.
Suplex City, bitch!
From the big returns...
I didn't just make headlines last night. I turned the WWE Universe upside down.
To the shocking moments.
The last time you and I together, we were in Brooklyn on Monday Night Raw. It was me, you, Rusev. Remember that? That was an amazing night. And then remember, you came to my hotel room and surprised me that night. Yeah, that was crazy. Remember that? And you told me you didn't want to be with Rusev anymore. You said he was big, he was hairy, he smelled like rotten testicles. And we did those special exercises. You showed me how to do the one-legged Russian vacuum. Yes! Remember I showed you how to do the Wisconsin wheelbarrow? Hey, we were just talking about you, kinda. You guys still together? I heard you broke up.
We're actually engaged to be married.
You engaged to be married? Mazel! That's fantastic news! You got a hell of a woman here. She's flexible as all hell. Whoa! I mean, it's amazing!
And the moments that leave you speechless.
My name is Bo, and I'm here to say Flow Rider's disrespectful in a major way. You sucker punched my friend in WrestleMania 28. But I'd be upset too if I was named after this awful stain.
Oh, you got it.
You need to channel your negativity in a more productive manner. You hold an ace high, but I have a full house. Like, my name is Danny Tanner.
It's the Raw Post Show, Monday nights, live on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
Do you feel a little bit empty inside after The Rack goes off the air on Thursday nights? Well, don't fret, because The Rack has a little something extra for you, in the form of The Rack Extra. Join us as we review the weekly happenings with your favorite Total Divas. From start to finish, we give you our reactions to all the relationship drama, the infighting, and all the trips to the plastic surgeon's office. Join us as we get all up in that Kool-Aid of the Total Divas with The Rack Extra, weekly right here on the Wild Talk Radio Network. Trust me, it's simply thebomb.com.
The evolution of online sports entertainment begins again on Sunday nights when you step into the ring with Wrestle Talk Radio. Covering all the latest in the WWE, TNA, and the indie scene. Plus, providing you with the most comprehensive coverage of every WWE and TNA pay-per-view. Join WrestleTalk Radio every Sunday night, live only on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
Like what you hear? Subscribe to The Rack on Apple Podcasts. Just search for The Rack Radio Show. And while you're there, leave us a review and tell us your thoughts on your favorite show on a Thursday night.
You think you know me?
Hey, this is Adam Copeland, a.k.a. the Rated R Superstar, a.k.a. Dwight Hendrickson from Haven, and you are listening to The Rack.
And welcome back to The Rack right here on WildTalkRadio.com, brought to our friends over at MBG Films. Check them out, youtube.com/MBG1211. And if you're listening to us over at Gerwick.net, RackRadioShow.com, WildTalkRadio.com, or on Twitch, thank you so much for tuning in. We greatly appreciate it. If you get a quick second, check out the fine folks over at FightBoot.com as well. And since that was our only break of the night, that means just one thing, Tweet of the Week.
Used to be the kind of person spending time on MySpace until the spammers ended up taking over my place, and I was so bitter until I found Twitter. Ooh, a place where you can go ahead and write what you're feeling. 140 characters or less is what you're giving. My addiction starts to climb. I go to refresh my timeline, 'cause I won't stop tweeting. No more, no more. It cannot wait, I'm sure.
Alrighty. So, if you were all watching the show, or I should say listening to the show last week, because we don't really, you know, put up video or anything like that, then you know we were watching Green Bay versus the Bears last week. And, well...
That was on Sunday.
Or, I'm sorry, that was on Sunday, which, by the way, that was an epic game.
Last week it was our game.
Oh, that's right. That's right. It was our game. That's right. I'm sorry. So, yes, on Sunday, Green Bay and the Bears went, and it was an epic level game. So good. Aaron Rodgers, my man, Aaron Rodgers came through, y'all. So proud. So happy for him. But it's not about Aaron Rodgers. It's about Seth Rollins, because Seth Rollins is a massive Bears fan. And if you didn't watch the game, or you don't really care about football, the Bears were up at one point, I think, 20-10, something ridiculous like that.
20-7, something like that.
Yes, 20-7. They had a fairly large lead over Green Bay going into the second half. And, well, Green Bay came back and won the damn thing. Won the whole damn thing. And we all know what that means. So, Big E puts out, looking forward to Seth Rollins' I hate football tweet. And legit, like a couple minutes later...
4 minutes.
4 minutes later, Seth Rollins tweets, I hate football more than I've ever hated football in my entire life. Big E responds, like clockwork. I mean, immediately, honestly, that's what I did, is I went to Seth Rollins' Twitter the second after the Bears lost to wait for that tweet.
Yeah.
Because then, we all knew it was coming.
And I told you to look for the Big E tweet. You saw it. And then a few minutes later, it's like, oh no, Big E, you tweeted again. We just needed to look. Yep.
Big E again. On the 4th of September, 1986, Xavier Woods shot through the womb like a bank canister through a pneumatic tube. The docs blew on him like he was a steaming bowl of soup. They could not cool the child. The boy was piping hot. It was Xavier Woods' birthday, y'all.
Yeah, a lot of people made some tweets like that towards him.
I love their friendship so much. Dr. Lupo. Ludicrous is a great word. Dr. Lupo. Before you go to bed, don't forget, my son eliminated Tim the Tap Man in Fortnite. Good night.
He did.
He did.
He did.
Courage. I can't wait to experience so many incredible things one day with my future wife, like exploring Europe, starting a family, and teaching her all about the incredible benefits of Twitch Prime, which include chat upgrades, in-game loot, and one free sub for your favorite streamer.
Speaking of which, if you have that Twitch Prime, you know, subscribe to your channel. Just saying.
It's a little button up at the top. You might have a free one and you don't know, because if you do sub, it's a dollar. Resub, it's a dollar.
Resub is
September.
$1. Yeah.
It's a dollar.
It's a dollar if you resub.
Everybody knows. Yeah.
Anyway, continue.
Finn Balor, avocado.
That's it?
That's it. Okay. It's avocado. I don't know why Finn Balor tweeted avocado, but he tweeted avocado. Maybe okay. He was eating avocado.
Maybe he was. Nobody knows.
So that's all I got.
Carmella, the chick working the counter at Chipotle tweets, at Chipotle said, I looked like I couldn't knock someone out. I replied with, well, I did beat Charlotte Flair and Asuka twice. Trey Wingo, the Browns ending their losing streak by not winning is the most Browns thing ever. It really is. So someone tweets Xavier Woods a picture of his big head. He goes, I honestly have no idea if big head mode is a thing in the new game, but if it is, then I'm ecstatic. If it's not a thing and my head is just actually this large in the game to house my huge brain, then the same emotion applies. He also changed his profile picture to Big Head Woods.
Lord.
Courage. Twitch is down. My AC isn't working and I'm out of snacks. Do I dare go outside? Is this the tipping point? I need to stay strong. Stay strong, Courage. Stay strong.
Dude, you live in Texas. Why would you go outside summer in Texas? Why? It's hot out there.
Marcus Stevenson replies to the WWE Games trailer. Wow, 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 wow. I'm in. What am I seeing? John Robinson goes, it's a new day. Boom shakalaka. This is where we say go check out the Rack Extra Creating the Mania. Available down at RackRadioShow.com. Authored by John Robinson.
Quality book.
Quality book.
Very quality book.
Anyway, tweet a week.
Alrighty, so we're going to do this a little differently. We're going to talk about Hell in a Cell and we're going to kind of sprinkle SmackDown in with it. Because things happen on SmackDown, but it's just we really want to talk about the pay-per-view.
It all plays a part into previewing the pay-per-view.
Because, you know, we can do two things at once. Ding!
We can multitask.
Because we're awesome like that.
So go to facebook.com/wildtalkradionetwork starting tomorrow. Tweet them at wildtalkradio, at rackradioshow. Or facebook.com/rackradioshow. Or facebook.com/wildtalkradionetwork. And leave your picks for what we're about to predict and preview right now.
Okay, so I don't think we have a pre-show match.
As of now, no.
Okay.
3 p.m. tomorrow, yes.
All right. So we're going to read it. I'm just going to read it in order because it's just going to be easier. So no pre-show that we can tell. But let's just start hot right out of the gate. I kind of hope this opens, actually. And that is Dane O'Brien and Brie Bella taking on the Miz and Maryse in the grudge match of the couples. And the reason why I want this to open is, one, this will probably be very good, and two, they both have small children, and they need to get them to bed.
Well,
so,
the children probably aren't there at the pay-per-view.
Anyway, oh, I bet they're there. I bet they're there.
They're in town. I don't think they're at the show.
No, they'll probably be at the show, but somebody will be watching them, obviously, during this. But, yeah. What are they going to do? Leave them at the hotel?
They could.
Nah, they'll bring them to the show.
Anyway, were they in Texas, I think?
Maybe.
I'll go look it up. Speaking of SmackDown, it was Maryse and Brie in the main event. Didn't really do much of a match, but they nice little teased the match.
Yeah, it was a good tease for the show.
They're in San Antonio, by the way.
Gee, former home of Shawn Michaels. Huh. And, well, a certain grumpy old dead man is supposed to show up on Monday.
Anyway, we're not here to talk about that. We're not here to talk about that. We're here to talk about Dana Ryan Brie versus Miz and Maryse.
Taker's going to be there Monday. Squeeze.
So, anyway. I like the little tease. You can see that Maryse has gotten back into shape since having the kid, which is good. Brie mentioned in an interview that about her dives, and she don't care if she screws it up. Like, she realized now that she's 10 pounds heavier, so she has to adjust how she flies. So, she's aware of her screw-ups. This is going to be a really good match. You're going to have nice teases with Miz and with Brie and Maryse. They're going to tease it well. They're not going to probably wrestle a lot, but they're going to do enough to get by. Daniel Bryan and Miz will carry this matchup for sure. Predicting who wins this matchup is really hard. If you listen to our SmackDown or SummerSlam coverage right before, we told you this is where the direction seemed to be going. We didn't know exactly when, but we're glad it's coming now. The story is Daniel Bryan has to win eventually, right?
Yeah, but I feel like they have to build to it a little bit more. I mean, I know the wives are involved, but I don't feel like Bryan and Brie are going to win this one. I don't know, though. I feel like you have to almost have the win just to make, just to do the 50-50 situation where it's like you go to that last match between Brian and Miz, but it's hard to say. I don't think the girls will be able to do a lot because I know Maryse has back problems, so she's not really going to be able to wrestle at, you know, the pace that I'm sure Brie would want to. They're still going to mix it up. They're still going to fight, but I would not expect Maryse to take a lot of bumps in this at all. And like you said, the men are probably going to carry this. But I can see Miz and Maryse potentially pulling another fast one and pulling out a victory, or it's Brie and Maryse get into it and cause a distraction, and that's what costs Brian, or it costs Miz.
I can, okay, so looking into the future, looking to the crystal ball, not the eight ball, who picked Miz and Maryse, by the way. Daniel Bryan and Miz are scheduled for Super Showdown in Australia. So that's their next singles confrontation, right?
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if you need to give Miz the Daniel Bryan the win over the Miz here, because it would make more sense for him to get his win in a singles contest. Because then you could do Brie and Maryse at, say, Evolution. Setting that up, you have Maryse beat Brie in this one. So the it couple continues to beat the yes couple.
I can see that, and I'm fine with that.
From a story standpoint, it makes more sense for the Miz and Maryse to get the win, because what is Daniel Bryan and Brie finally beating the Miz and Maryse? Okay, they got the win, so the story's dead. If it's about storytelling, you need the heel to continue to have that advantage, especially when they're cocky heels. And to me, the better story is Miz and Maryse getting the win. Maryse over Brie. You set up a future Maryse-Brie match where they actually get a finish. You go to the future Bryan-Miz match where you can actually put Bryan over the Miz, where you can give Bryan the win there. So now they're 1-1 in a singles contest, and then you can blow them off, say, in Survivor Series.
See, I almost wish...
Or later. Go ahead.
And this is just me, because this is like one of the feuds that I feel like should be in Hell in a Cell and is not in Hell in a Cell, and I understand why it's not, because they're not done with it, but I almost wish they had started this just a little bit earlier so it could be, because this is completely appropriate to be in the Cell, especially given all the history between these two and everything that's gone on so far. I would absolutely love to have seen this in the Cell, but we're not going to get it. We're going to get the tag match instead, which is fine. That's completely fine. I'm not going to complain about that at all. But yeah, I mean, I kind of agree with that Miz and Maryse almost have to win just to continue the story. And it's that situation of Daniel Bryan cannot beat Miz. And it's what does Daniel Bryan have to do to beat the Miz?
Right. And here, you can even extend the story. I mentioned you can have them face off at Survivor Series in a one-on-one match, but you don't even need that. You can put them in a Survivor Series type match where they're on opposite sides, and you can continue the feud, and you can extend this out to the December pay-per-view and have their blow off there, or even blow it off at the Rumble. It doesn't matter. You have, with these two and their interactions being more verbal than physical, even though their physicality is a lot of verbal, you don't have to rush through the matches. And you have basic storyline elements like mixed tags and whatever to extend the feud. You can finish it off in a singles match of Survivor Series. You can continue it in a tag match of Survivor Series. So there's like a lot of potential where you finally get, you know, okay, you go even in Australia, so it's one to one, and then you blow it off eventually. So it's like, you have a lot of choices there. I'm going Miz and Maryse to get this win. Again, Maryse over Brie. Just, it makes more perfect sense.
Yeah, I kind of agree with that. Maryse and Miz for the win. And Brian and Brie continue to get frustrated.
By the way, I like that they have Yes Mode t-shirts now.
Those are so cute.
And that Brie got matching. I like how on Raw she's black, red, and white. And on SmackDown she's blue and green with Brian.
Well, you know, you got a match according to whichever spouse, sister combo you're going for there. You have to coordinate. It's important.
It will end before Mania, Matt, because I think that's a little too long to drag it on for.
Yeah.
Because you want to see something fresh at the start of the new year. Anyway, what's next?
Up next, your first Hell in the Cell of the evening. Not to say it's first, could be the second, but on our sheet, it is the first Hell in the Cell match. It is Jeff Hardy versus Randy Orton. Is this even for the U.S. title?
No, because Shinsuke is the champ.
That's right. That's right. I'm sorry. I know my product, I swear to God. It's been a day, y'all. It's been a day.
You would think, because they use Shinsuke as the, you know, middleman in this feud, that one of them would be a champion. He's just an afterthought. But no, the U.S. champion's in the afterthought. in this whole situation. And Jeff Hardy,
which is a little rude.
It is. Jeff Hardy versus Randy Orton in the cell is simply because Jeff Hardy wanted to come back to WWE, and one of his grand wishes that he, the Vince probably said, yeah, sure, Jeff, we'll give it to you, is Hell in a Cell.
Well, I mean, that's fine. There's nothing wrong with Jeff Hardy wanting to do in a Hell in a Cell. And I mean, he should get to do it at this point, but I hate it when they do it like this, where it's just, it's a gimmick pay-per-view. We don't have anything really built for it that we're ready to put into it. So we're just going to throw a match in the cell, and it really cheapens the overall effect of the cell. And yes, I'm going to sound like one of those fans for a minute, so just everybody chill. It's the cell is really meant to be one of those blood feud situations where you have tons of shenanigans. And so the cell is designed to ensure those shenanigans don't happen. It traps you in there. So it's literally one-on-one. You have to just fight it out. I mean, let's not forget, the originators of this match were Shawn and Taker.
Yeah.
And the reason why it had to be built was because Shawn had DX. So that's, you know, that's the starting point. Now you fast forward all the way to 2018 and you have Randy Orton and Jeff Hardy in there. And while you do have Shinsuke Nakamura involved in this, he's not really that involved. Like, he's not breaking up the matches. He's not interfering. He's just sort of present. He's just kind of there. Like, he's not really sure what's going on. And it's because it's like he was feuding with Jeff Hardy for the U.S. title, and then Randy Orton got involved. And now Shinsuke is just kind of like that odd third wheel in this, that he's like, okay, all right, I'm just going to kind of hang out and watch you two kill each other, because why not? I have nothing better to do. That's what that involvement really is. So it's like you don't really need a cell to keep him out, because he's not going to do anything that
no,
we know of.
He's not going to get involved at all. But
My whole thing is, this is another one where it's, I wish they had started it earlier and built to this.
So we can expect Jeff to do the Shane jump off the top of the cell. He's going to swanton off the cell. We're all going to hold our breath because that's what he's probably planning on doing, or something close to it. This matchup should be fine, should be interesting, and see how far Randy wants to go in the cell. Jeff should win, but Randy probably will. Because it's a babyface thing, I think that babyface should win. But then again, Randy's doing this whole new character, trying to eliminate people, and they can take Jeff out with a Randy win.
Well, Jeff Hardy's hurting, right?
Yeah, but he's always hurt. He's always going to be hurting.
But here's the thing. It's, you can write Jeff Hardy off TV for a little bit, let him sort of rest, kind of like the same thing of what they're doing with Matt, where they're resting Matt and nobody's really sure what's going on there with him. I mean, you take Jeff off TV for a little while and you just let him chill, let him heal up a little bit, and then you have him ready to go for Survivor Series. Like, I kind of feel like that's what they're going to do with it, because if Jeff does a stupid dive like that, which Jeff always does, let's be real, that's Jeff Hardy. Mr. Stupid Dive. Kind of the almost the originator. Not really of it, but feels like it. Because he always does it. He's going to need a little time to recover from that. Especially off the top of the cell. Because I think that's the highest he's jumped. If he does it off the top.
Yep.
Because that's 20 feet. I don't think he's ever done a 20-foot dive before.
Oh, he's off the big ladders. He's done them, yeah. He's done off the big ladders. He's done it off the Tron. He's gotten up high.
That's right. He did do the Tron. That's right. I always forget about the Tron. But then again, he was also younger when he did it.
He was 10 years younger when he did it, yeah.
So he's going to need a little bit of a breather. So I can totally see Jeff doing something stupid, like jumping off the top. Randy could either take the blow, or Randy does the Kevin Owens and he rolls off the table. And Jeff takes the dive onto the table, and Randy drags him back into the middle of the ring and beats him 1-2-3. I can completely see that happening, and then you have Randy Orton potentially move forward, either with Shinsuke Nakamura, or you set him up in line for AJ Styles, if AJ Styles wins.
Or someone else.
Or someone else, we'll get to that. But yeah, I almost see Randy Orton winning this match. I really, really do. I mean, just that could be the trade-off for Jeff getting the matches. It's like, you're not going to win the match.
Points-wise, I want Jeff to win, but my head goes Randy, so I'm picking Randy. By the way, going in, set your expectations low for this entire pay-per-view, and you'll really enjoy it.
Yeah, I mean, I hate to say that about this show, but it's like, I'm not really super hyped about it, because honestly, all the people I really, really care about aren't on it.
It's not even that. We're going to get into we're gonna get through some matches here in a minute that finishes aren't gonna be as desirable as you hope. So I'm going Randy.
Yeah, I'm expecting huge amounts of shenanigans on this show. So yeah, Randy Orton for the win.
So says us. So says the people.
Hey, we're all in agreement. So, that's scary.
So Jeff's gonna win.
Yeah. Raw Tag Team Championships are on the line as Dolph Ziggler and Drew McIntyre take on Seth Rollins and Dean Ambrose in one of the more weird feuds on Raw.
So, Drew and Dolph just got the belts. I don't see them losing them yet because it makes no sense for them to lose them yet. Then you have Seth and Dean, who you don't want Dean to lose now. Because that's stupid booking. Seth is one of the hottest people, but he's also the IC champion. So him holding two belts makes no sense. And this is just sort of a stopgap to the sixth man in Australia. Because do you want the Shield to have all the belts?
I mean, I almost...
you could do that.
Well, are they going to have all the belts? That's the question. We'll get into that too. I almost would like, at least for a little bit, for the Shield to have all the belts, because they did do that at one point. They may not have had the World Championship, but at one point they did hold...
They had the U.S. and tags.
They had the U.S. and tags, for sure. So I can completely see them getting at least the IC and tags again, because here's the thing. Ambrose is the odd man out in this situation. He does not have a title. Roman's got one. Seth's got one. Dean does not. So it almost makes sense to put the tag titles on him because it's like the Shield is super hot. You're pushing them as the biggest baby faces in the tag division right now. They're supposedly unstoppable. Are you telling me that Dolph Ziggler and Drew McIntyre are going to be able to stop the Shield?
No, but I don't see them getting the belts either.
I mean, I could see them winning by DQ and then McIntyre and Ziggler keep the titles and that's how you move it forward.
That's exactly how I see it happening. For the simple fact, you can always do the title change on Monday. I think it's too early to put Dean and Seth in a position where they're holding the belts. If this matchup opens the show, then Dean and Seth are totally getting the belts.
Yeah.
I don't know. But that, picking this to end in DQ when everything else I think is going to end in a DQ later doesn't make sense. I only see a couple matches with real clean finishes.
But they're in that really awkward position of they're building the Super Showdown and they already have matches set for that. So you have to get to that next step. And in most cases, it's like, unless you're just going to have the Shield win clean, the only way to move this forward is that you do a dirty finish on this one where it's Drew and Dolph figure out a way to win by DQ, and so Seth and Dean still get the win, so you still keep the team strong, and you make Drew and Dolph look bad, or look like bad guys, but, you know, then it's like, then it can all move forward to Super Showdown, and then eventually you can do a rematch, potentially for the tag titles, at some point, because I can totally speak. But, I mean, honestly, Drew and Dolph feel like a stopgap. They didn't want to have the Shield destroy the B team. So it's you took the B team out of the equation with Drew and Dolph, and then the Shield can come in and they can take the titles off of those two. And that's how you can get to the sixth man as well, is the Shield beats Drew and Dolph and they're pissed. And so they go after the Shield. Cause I don't feel like the Shield winning ends it at all.
Doesn't. To me, it's early. It's early for a title change. Early for a title change. But then again, it makes sense to put the belts on them.
You either have to have them win by DQ, or you have to have them win outright. Because honestly, you're going to kill Ambrose if they lose.
Here's the thing. I'm looking down the card. I have two more matches I want to end in DQ. And I can't. So it's like, am I going to call three DQ finishes on this show?
You can. They've done it before.
That's really... Again, this is why I'm saying it's a really interesting show, at least if you're going to keep logical finishes intact. I'm going Seth and Dean via DQ, whatever.
I'll say Seth and Dean. I don't know if I want it DQ or not, but Seth and Dean for sure. Yeah. I mean, it makes complete sense to do it, and that's probably why Drew and Dolph will actually win, but...
So says the 8-Ball, by the way.
So says the 8-Ball, by the way. But yeah, it's... I just feel like in my heart of hearts, it's going to be Seth and Dean. It almost has to be Seth and Dean.
It could go either way. It really could. I mean, you could have Drew and Dolph get a sneak win on Dean, hooking tights or whatever, and then tell they retain. You can go many different ways. I'm not confident in that pick, but a DQ finish is sort of how I say it. DQ count out, whatever. Anyway, what's next?
Up next, we go from the Raw Tag Team Championship to the SmackDown Tag Team Championship, where it's the Day versus the Day. That's right. New Day is taking on Rusev Day for the tag team titles.
Aiden screws up. New Day retains.
Yeah, it's you just put the titles on New Day. There's zero reason to take them off New Day. Plus, I think they're trying to split Aiden and Rusev, so New Day.
That's... New Day is going to retain. I can't give any more of a preview than that's the logical finish.
There's zero build to this. This is literally Rowan and Harper
got hurt.
Rowan got hurt. They had to give up the titles. New Day won them, now they're just trying to move forward.
They did a mini tournament. Rusev Day got it. Rusev Day is here to put New Day over, and Aiden screws up and they lose.
Bing bang boom, all done.
Not going to be much of a match. It'll be fine. That's simple and easy. Rusev Day by the 8-ball.
Okay, quick question. Is your NFL Network blinking or is it my TV?
It's working. Oh, no, it's blinking. There it goes.
Okay. All right. Cool. Yeah, no, it's like blinking back and forth and back and forth. And I'm like, is my TV going bad again or is it just being stupid?
I'm glad you mentioned it because I wouldn't have noticed because that would have been crappy. Anyway, moving on to the next match.
The other match that really should be in the cell, but is not in the cell because reasons, Charlotte versus Becky Lynch.
So they have a matchup scheduled at Super Showdown, just as an FYI. So Becky losing here would be bad, who apparently is not a heel, but is a heel. Today, Becky's just a badass, not a heel.
Can we just say how absolutely hot she looked on SmackDown? Like, I feel minorly ashamed saying that, but not fully ashamed saying that because she really did look ridiculously hot.
Charlotte was taking pictures with the fans, and then a random fan attacked Charlotte, took off her wig, and attacked Becky Lynch. Or attacked Charlotte, and that fan was Becky Lynch. So she's a badass now, not a heel per se, even though 2 weeks ago they were proclaiming her as a heel.
I feel like she's more of an anti-hero almost, where because it's like I think they are realizing that it's like the fans are just going to be behind Becky no matter what they do, because again, Becky is 100% justified in what she's doing and her actions and her reasoning and all of it. So it's, you really can't boo her for that because we've all been there. We've all had that one friend. So Becky is just, we're all living vicariously through Becky right now. And so I think they're going with it. I applaud them going with it. Because it's like, I think they were trying way too hard, and it's like, no matter what they did, it's like, you're not going to make it happen, so just let's roll with the punches and see how this goes, and that's exactly what they've done. I'm loving this feud. I want to see this continue. I want to see Becky win. I want to see her beat Charlotte. Again, it's probably not going to happen, but here's the thing. If Becky loses, she's dead. It's dead in the water. Nothing matters, because everything that she said is going to be invalidated, and everything Charlotte has said will be correct. So you almost have to have Becky Lynch win.
I have to read you something.
Oh.
James also responded to a fan who wrote that Becky is already over as a super babyface, but our fans want WWE to capitalize by putting the title on her. James responded, I'd ask you if she needs the title if she's super over already. I don't disagree with you, but I want you to think about it. Austin Rock were super over and didn't always have the title.
I'm not saying she needs the title to get over. She's over.
No.
But what I'm saying is you've had Becky Lynch preaching about Charlotte, and you've had Charlotte preaching about Becky. And Charlotte's basically been saying Becky isn't good enough. Becky can't get the job done in the big matches. That's been proven time and time again. So what does that do to Becky Lynch if you have her go into a big match situation and she loses one more time? It validates everything Charlotte is saying, and it deflates and essentially kills Becky's whole momentum going into this match. So it's coming out of it. What do you do with her? Do you just have her scream and shout about how she lost? Nobody's going to care. Everybody's going to be like, oh yeah, okay, well, but you still lost, honey. Like, we get it. You're pissed. Totally understand it behind you, but you lost. You really do need to have her beat Charlotte. You really do need to have her take that title. Just for the sake of everything that you've had her say and do, you have to back it up.
Another fan chimed in and said, Becky will receive a huge pop if they put the SmackDown Women's title on her. James responded, also, pops aren't what I'm shooting for, mate. but I get what you're saying.
So,
reading his comments goes to show you there's no intention of really putting the belt on Becky Lynch right now because she's already over, even if it makes the most storyline sense to put the belt on Becky Lynch.
I know, and I get that, and they're going to do whatever they want, but to me personally, it's like just the way that they're telling this story and the way that they're positioning Becky is that she doesn't need it to be over, but she needs it to be right. That's what it is it's for her to be validated for everything that she's been saying to be 100% correct and, you know, all of that. She needs to win that title. She doesn't need to win it for long, but she needs to win it, or she at least needs to beat Charlotte. Because if you have Charlotte beat her and you have Charlotte beat her clean, everything you have done with Becky is dead in the water. It's dead.
What if Charlotte cheats to win?
It doesn't matter. It's dead. One, it's convoluted as crap. Two, it's everybody's going to be like, well, but...
Because if Charlotte wins by DQ, then Becky becomes that whiny baby face that no one wants to see.
Yeah. Exactly.
But Charlotte's winning on Sunday.
I don't want her to win. I mean, honestly, sir, I love Charlotte. Don't get me wrong. I love Charlotte, but I'm tired of it. I'm really tired of Charlotte being champion. I'm really tired of Charlotte winning all the time. You've got Becky poised to win. You've got Becky poised in a really good position right now. I think you've got everybody behind her. I don't understand what is the point of putting everybody behind her only to deflate her.
So, let me finish my pick.
Okay.
Charlotte Flair wins by disqualification. Becky is going to accidentally get herself disqualified, whether she's kicking too much ass, leaving a submission hold on too long, something. She's going to get disqualified. Charlotte retains. Charlotte is left laying by Becky to move to the next matchup. Because Becky's not winning the title on Sunday, even though she should. This is just the beginning, not the end of the story.
Okay, but here's the question. If Becky DQs herself, then what is the motive to go after Charlotte again? How do you even get there?
Because the match is already booked.
Okay, but still, how do you move the story there? Is it just, oh, hey, for shits and giggles, let's fight again on Super Showdown, because why the hell not? I mean, if that's how you do it, where Becky Lynch is going to put on a hold too long and she DQs herself, it's going to be Charlotte's going to be like, no, I don't have to give you that match. There's no reason for her to. Unless Becky provokes Charlotte in some way, which I don't see her doing.
There's no need for the provocation. They've already announced it.
I get that.
I know this.
I get that. But for the first, okay, for storyline's sake, it's announced, right? We get that. But how do you get from here to there if Becky nerfs herself? How do you get it there from point A to point B in a story other than, well, we're just going to fight, even though, you know, you totally just screwed yourself and you just lost because you weren't paying attention, or you held the hold for too long, or you did something. You screwed up. So, but we're going to fight anyway because why not? It's already booked. We don't have a way to get out of it. So let's just fight. Like there's no story there.
I don't disagree. I'm not saying it makes sense. I'm just going with the idea. They already have the match booked. You're not going to get the clean finish.
I want the clean finish, though.
Well, guess what? That's not happening on this show, at least in my mind. If we have a show with all clean finishes, I'd be greatly surprised. But this is match number 2. I don't see anything in it cleanly.
I'm picking Becky Lynch, y'all.
I'm picking Charlotte by disqualification.
I'm going with my gut here. Becky Lynch.
A ball goes Charlotte.
See, we can disagree. Moving on to the Raw Women's Championship. We have the rematch of Ronda Rousey versus Alexa Bliss. Ronda.
Alexa for the 8-ball. Gonna be fine. The match will be enjoyable. Ronda's awesome. It's enjoyable to watch her fight. Alexa will probably get a little bit more offense in to build up more credibility against her match with Trish Stratus. But is there any way Ronda's losing this matchup? Hell no.
The only difference maker I can see is Mickie James and Alicia Fox playing some type of part in this match, but I feel like ultimately Ronda will win.
Will we see Trish Stratus on the show? Maybe.
Will we see Nikki Bella?
Good question. One of the two will be there. Probably one of the two will be on Raw too. This matchup is designed to get Rousey over. Alexa will get her stuff in more than she did last time because they've already set the stage with the rib injury from the last few weeks on Raw. So they're going to give Alexa offense in this matchup, unlike the first one. So they've already put a point there. They're going to have Alexa go for the armbar. Rousey's going to fight right out of it, but she's going to attempt it. Because they've been setting the stage nicely on Raw by giving Alexa little things towards Ronda. So it's like, Ronda's not going to be as dominant, but she'll still win and go from there. But it's Rousey all the way. You don't put the belt on her and take it off her in a month. Rousey wins. 8-Ball says Alexa. You say Rousey as well.
Yeah, I mean, there's no reason to have Ronda lose. There's no reason. Unless it is just there's massive levels of shenanigans, and then that's really the only way acceptable. But Ronda is more than capable of taking out Alexa. We saw it last month, so Ronda should win this easily, handily.
What's next?
Up next, the other match that really should be in Hell in a Cell. It's really tailor-made for Hell in a Cell, but it's not going to be in it because it's going to continue. That is AJ Styles versus Samoa Joe for the WWE Championship. Hey, Wendy. How you doing? Sup?
This matchup is going to end in disqualification.
Wait, we have a Brent command in chat?
We do. We do. We also have Dr. Brent in command, too, just so people are aware.
We have a Brent command in chat, y'all.
Dr. Brent. So,
Oh my god, what the hell? Dude, that is not nice.
It was from a discussion we were having, and it is correct. Anyway, so this matchup should have been in a cell if this was the end point. It's not the end point. This is only the middle. Hey, guess what? They're booked for Super Showdown 2. Also, in case you're unaware, AJ Styles is the cover boy for WWE 2K19, which comes out on October 5th. You think they're going to have him not be champion when the game comes out? Pointing those facts out. Samoa Joe's not getting the belt. Samoa Joe is going to win this matchup by disqualification because AJ is going to get disqualified this time. He's going to go too far because Joe is going to push his buttons again. Like he did at SummerSlam. This match will not end clean. What do you say?
It's not going to end clean. This is going to be a fight. I feel like there's going to be a lot more mind games played in this. And yeah, it's AJ. AJ's been provoked. So I feel like he's going to go for Joe. And he's going to potentially get himself disqualified.
What they put out on SmackDown. AJ's trying to keep his temper in check. AJ's going to lose his temper on Sunday. That may cost them the belt, but I don't think so because of the video game and promotion and everything. You're going to want the belt on the champ and with the video game cover, that's going to be a thing. You kind of want that as a message. They're doing $1 million challenge. You would rather be the champ when they're promoting
AJ's been champ for
400 something days.
Yeah, I mean, it's at some point it's got to end. Joe's probably your best challenger you have for it right now.
Again.
I honestly don't think it would hurt. It would kill Joe if they took it off of Joe for the video game release. But I mean, it's like the Shinsuke situation all over again. And I get that. And this is one of those things. And I understand Joe was hurt. Get that. That they should have started it earlier because they could have built this for the cell and it could have gone in the cell and it could have ended here, but it's not going to because they're going to Super Showdown with it and the game's dropping in October.
The day before Super Showdown.
The day before Super Showdown. This is so hard to pick because the game is coming into play. And yes, they will want him as champion, but here's the thing. He's going to do all the media as champion. He will be champion the day that the game drops, right? So technically your cover boy is champion while all this is going on. And then Joe comes in at Super Showdown and beats him up and takes his title. And that can kind of help to drive the storyline forward again. Is now it's, well, how great are you really? Because I just beat you.
Right. I expect Joe to win the belt at Super Showdown. That's sort of where I'm going with it. But I don't see him getting it here.
No, I feel like AJ is going to lose his temper and he's actually going to be the one that goes too far and costs himself the match. And that's going to be Joe's driving point where it's, oh, did I get in your head? Did I screw with you? Did I do that to you? Oh, hey, let me do it some more. Because if one thing Joe is just absolutely perfect at is pushing people's buttons. It is just being that monumental dick and just going poke, 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 poke the whole way through. So, yeah, this should be really, really good, but I'm going with AJ.
I'm going Samoa Joe by disqualification.
Or no, I'm sorry. Yeah, Joe. I meant Joe. But AJ keeps the title.
So Joe via DQ.
Yeah, Joe via DQ.
Main event time.
Alrighty. In the cell, in a really awkward situation, you have Roman Reigns taking on Braun Strowman for the Universal Championship.
Who's cashing in his Money in the Bank contract with Mick Foley as the special guest referee.
I still don't like that Foley's involved. I'm sorry. I love Mick Foley to death, but I really don't like that Mick Foley's in this match. It just feels really cheap. I don't know. It's just, to me, it's like when they announced that Monday, it's like, is that really needed? Do we really need that here? I guess the answer is yes.
I don't know. I was watching the football fumble. You don't need Foley, but they want it Foley. Okay. Because it's 20 years since the last one. That was in June. Okay. Whatever. It really makes no sense. So they're going to make the briefcase pointless. I think that's sort of the idea. Because second year in a row, the guy holding the briefcase is going to lose. Because that seems to be the case here, doesn't it?
I don't know. Is it?
Feels like it, don't it?
It's you legit just put the title on Roman. It does not make sense to have Roman lose, but at the same time, I don't think they want the Shield having all the titles, although that would be the biggest power move you can have, because now it's the Shield can hold all the titles except for the women's ransom against Baron Corbin until they get what they want. So you do have that, but at the same time, it's like,
it's Braun Strowman in a Hell in a Cell. He should not lose. There's no way the monster among men should lose inside Hell in a Cell.
But how many times have we been here before with Braun and Roman, and Roman has won?
Oh, Roman's gonna win. Besides the point, Braun Strowman shouldn't lose. Braun Strowman shouldn't cash in and lose. It makes no logical sense. He's Braun freaking Strowman, the monster among men.
So here's the deal. Because with all Hell in the Cells, I would expect Drew and Dolph to get involved in this. I would expect the Shield to get involved in this, because I think this is the other six-man at Super Showdown, right?
That is what they're building to, yes.
So, honestly, I can see the trade-off to this being that if the Shield win the tag titles, Roman loses the Universal. And then that way there's a balance there where it's, they're all coming to get revenge for their titles, essentially. Or, you know, basically coming at the guys that they fought, you know, that either took their title or they lost their title too. So there's that story that you can get involved with. But I don't know. See, it's like, I would love to see Braun as champion. I feel like they could still get away with Braun as champion. It would certainly help to solidify the character that he's doing. Because again, if Braun Strowman, monster among men, loses, he's dead. Like, it's dead. The point is completely mute. It doesn't matter because he lost.
Yep.
That is the crux of this whole situation, is you've got Braun basically being out there proclaiming he's an utter badass, right? Utter badass, can destroy anybody. We've seen him, what he's capable of. And interestingly enough, they have not tied the previous history between Braun and Roman into this feud. They kind of should have.
They kind of did it at the end on Monday, but yeah. Not really. It has been a focal point. It has been a talking point. But here, speaking of the end of Monday, Roman had the advantage.
Which is interesting.
Which is interesting on a go home. Because you would think then Braun wins this matchup, right? That would be the most logical sense. Go ahead.
I would almost like to see it. Like, here's the thing. I could almost see Corbin screwing Roman.
No, I don't see Corbin doing it. But
or somebody else.
Go with me on this, all right?
All right.
Drew McIntyre, Monday Night Raw, said, chat says there's not going to be a match. There will be a match. Foley's as a ref, there's going to be a match.
There will be a match.
It's your main event of the show, they're going to have a match.
It may not be long, but there will be a match.
There will be a match. Drew McIntyre said on Monday, balance of power has shifted because they have the tag title. Balance of power can only change when you hold the biggest belt on a brand. But the way they made Strowman look on Monday, you need for the Strowman character to keep him relevant, he needs the win. He needs the championship, because then the heels actually have something to talk about. They actually have a point they've actually made, because holding the tag belts and being the big team gets you nowhere. But beating Roman Reigns, that gets you somewhere. Taking the belt off of Roman Reigns, who spent a year and a half chasing that belt, gets you somewhere. Roman Reigns should lose on Sunday to Braun Strowman.
He won't.
WWE booking is going to have Roman win. Braun Strowman should win. And he can hold the belt for 6 weeks till Survivor Series and then drop it. It wouldn't be the worst thing in the world to give Braun Strowman 6 weeks as the champion while you're still having Roman chase. I know the Roman fan base will be mad as hell. But if it's a 6 week chase and he gets it back at Survivor Series, one, you've continued the story. And two, you're making this heel turn worth it. Because turning Braun to heel and then having him lose, then he's like every single heel in the roster. Pointless. Braun Strowman's winning, cashing in successfully as your new WWE Universal Champion.
I want to believe that's going to happen, and it seriously does need to happen, because again, it's Roman is better when he chases. Not to say that Roman is a bad champion, because Roman is certainly not a bad champion, but Roman is better when he chases a title. That's very evident with the way that they ran the whole Brock Lesnar feud. They write him better when he's chasing him. When he has the title, it's okay, hey, look, yay, I'm champion. I'm the big dog. I'm this and that, you know, and he can wave a stick around and everything.
Hold on. Go ahead.
Now he's sitting on top of the mountain. He's got his boys right there, but will he have his boys? Because they've been very inconsistent with the Shield, so they may not be involved. Who knows? But yeah, I mean, for Braun Strowman, for everything, it's the Becky Lynch situation all over again. For anything that Braun Strowman has said, for anything that he has done for this feud up to this point to matter, to take it to Super Showdown where people are going to care about it, you have to have him win. You have to have him get that title.
I gotta ask Matt something. How do you have a 10 count in a Hell in a Cell? Are you knocking both men out, or are you going to have a count out? Because in Hell in a Cell, you can't have a count out. Both men can't continue, that's one thing. You can't have a 10 count for a count out.
Yeah, it's a no DQ, no holds barred in a cage, essentially. So you could have Braun put him through the cage, but I very much doubt they're going off.
They're not going up. They'll go through. Them going through will allow Drew and Dolph, Seth and Dean to get in. See how that works?
Yep. But yeah, I mean, I want to say Braun Strowman. In fact, I'm going to say Braun Strowman just to keep it interesting, just to keep it going. But there's also a wild card that we're not factoring, and I know he's not going to play any part in it, but I would feel remiss if I don't mention him in the back half of the show. And that is Mr. Bray Wyatt. So here's the deal with Bray Wyatt. He's coming back solo at some point. Rumor is after Hell in a Cell. And nobody's really sure who he's facing. He's coming out of the Deleters of Worlds. He's potentially coming back with a new character or a revamped character or something. Please let him do a cannonball into Matt's Lake if we're all, you know, perfectly frank with each other. And he's been putting out rather mysterious messages. Could he come back and help Braun? Because, you know, there's that whole grudge with the Shield, with Roman, with everybody that Bray's got going. Could he come back and just attack someone? Could he just not show up? We don't know, but there is that connection between Bray and Braun, and that would be a pretty epic duo right there.
Not going to be a thing.
No, it's not going to be a thing, but I could dream. I can dream. But yeah, I have to mention him at least 30 times a show or else I feel bad.
At least once an hour.
At least once an hour. Because, you know, Bray Wyatt. Anyway. But yeah, I mean, I would be curious to see if he plays any kind of factor in the show. I very much doubt it, but I would like to see that. But in terms of the match, the final match, Braun's got to win. He won't, but Braun's got to win. For any of it to mean anything, Braun has to win.
Going back, I don't think I said AJ for 8-ball, but I'm going to mention it now just so it's on record. And Roman Reigns, 8-ball in this one.
So there you go. There's our picks. Do you agree? Do you not agree? Well, you can tweet us at Wild Talk Radio, at Rack Radio Show, and, you know, tell us your thoughts. And you can participate in the Pick'em Challenge for bragging rights on who picks best. Hopefully you'll do better than us and beat the 8-ball, because we never do. But anyway, you've got stuff to plug, so plug away.
Saturday night, midnight-ish. Learn how to talk like a pirate on CB Radio, CB Radio Live, Facebook, Twitter, and .com. Hashtag blame Rob when a celebrity dies. Sunlight right after Hell in a Cell. It's Russell Talk Radio. To review it all, Monday night's Raw Post, 11:10 p.m. Eastern. Coming next week, the Rack Extra Reviews. Total Divas.
It's back!
We'll be live next Thursday night at 10 p.m. Eastern to talk all things Hell in a Cell, SmackDown, and NXT, and along with... Wait. Is that the date? We might have a lot. Yep, next week. So, we're going to have next week on the show SmackDown, NXT, Mixed Match, Challenge, and the Mae Young Classic. Plus Hell.
We're doing all the things.
We're doing all the things. They're going to be short segments. We'll have all the things. The Rack Thursday nights, 10 p.m. Eastern. Rack Radio Show on all favorite social media. That's whether it's on Google Podcasts, Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, TuneIn Radio, Tumblr, Twitter, Facebook. It's all Rack Radio Show. Check it all out. Check us out on Twitch, twitch.tv/WTR Live. Follow and subscribe if you have Amazon Prime. Link it to your Twitch account. It's called Twitch Prime. It's free to subscribe. If you subscribe, to resubscribe this month in September, it's $1. So you can get 2 months for the cost of one. Think about it. So check it all out.
And you can use any Twitch Prime account you want. Just make sure you ask permission first.
At Wild Talk Radio on the Twitters. Facebook.com/Wild Talk Radio Network.
You can follow me on Twitter at Linsboard, L-E-N-S-W-R-D, and go to my website, psychwarddesigns.com. If you like my artwork, if you'd like to view my artwork, it is available for your viewing pleasure at behance.net/Linsboard, same as the Twitters. And don't forget to check out our very fine sponsors, Gerwick.net, Fightbooth.com, and MBGFilmsYouTube.com/MBG.
1211.
There we go. There it is.
Stay tuned for Fortnite with Friends coming up next right here on twitch.tv/WTR Live.
Yeah, we're going to take a quick break. We're going to, you know, get beverages. So I would suggest you do as well. Beverages, snacks, whatever. And then we will be back with Fortnite with Friends. So for Rock, I'm Lindsay Ward. You've been listening to The Rock right here on WildTalkRadio.com. And we'll be back in a couple minutes with Fortnite. Till then, bye.
So am I. I'm alright, rearranging, yeah, well, so am I. Hey, I'm alright, it's insane.
WildTalkRadio.com.